Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time when every alcohol brand must ask, should we make a seltzer? And our answer is no. Introducing Tito's in a can. It's literally an empty can that we're selling. That's right. You add the Tito's and the soda and the lime and whatever. Now you can drink your Tito's from a double insulated, refillable, cold, hard can. In all these canned drinking places, we don't make seltzers. You do.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You are now tuned into News Forum, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, better known as the Queen of Justice.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go!
Wait, I don't think y'all ready for this.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go! Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go! Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go!
Hey everybody, this is your girl, Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, aka Chinchilla J, and yes, I am the Queen of Justice. Tonight is Sunday, July 16th, 2023, the third Sunday in the seventh month of the year. Tonight on News Forum, murder, corruption, and cover-up in Luzerne County. Tonight we will unfold the horrible truth behind the death of Joshua Taylor. Justice for Josh Taylor. August 26, 2022, Josh Taylor died. Josh Taylor was bullied and punched in the abdomen at Vesuvio's restaurant and bar in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Arrest the killer and put an end to bullying. It's been almost 1 year. No arrest has been made, but the surveillance camera clearly shows the murder, shows the murderer in all his callousness, and shows how he killed a man who loved everybody. No news coverage, no news articles, no stories around this bizarre case. But last Sunday, July 9th, 2023, the Queen of Justice gave space for the Taylors to speak. News Forum features another first. And now the Taylors are finally getting some coverage in Luzerne County. Joining me tonight will be Josh's mother, his aunt, his father, and his two sisters. As they unfold the horrible truth behind Josh Taylor's death. Tonight, we will expose the corruption, the cover-up, the power, the prestige, and the political ties surrounding the death of Josh Taylor. And they will all be exposed right here tonight on News Forum. And I also want to hear from you tonight. How can I hear from you? Well, if you're tuned in tonight via cell phone or landline, press 1 and you will be placed into the caller's queue. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web, you must dial in at 516-453-9133 to talk live on the air with me. And don't forget, if you would like to donate to Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition, please do so. As a matter of fact, do so while we're on air tonight. Okay? How can you donate? Well, it's very easy if you have Cash App. The Cash App is $BAVoiceTour. That's $B as in boy, E as in Edward, A as in apple, B as in Victor, O as in Oscar, I as in ice, C as in Charlie, and E as in Edward. T as in Tom, O as in Oscar, U as in you, and R as in Robert. Be a voice tour. Or you may donate via Venmo. The Venmo account is at Be a Voice. That's at BEAVOICE. And if for some reason you have trouble donating via Cash App, inbox me. Chinchilla Jonesia. Chinchilla is with one L. That is C-H-I-N-C-H-I-L-A J-O-N-E-S-I-A. My first and last name, with a space in between. Inbox me on Facebook, or you may contact me Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378. Extension 888. If you inbox me on Facebook, inbox me your Cash App, your Cash tag, and the amount you would like to donate. You can donate $1, $2, $3, $5, $10, $50, $100, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever you want to donate to Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition, so that we may continue our advocacy work, fighting for the wrongfully incarcerated, speaking truth to power, and exposing injustices in America and beyond. And if you have a business, you can become a sponsor of Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition. But for now, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with the girl. We'll be right back after this. Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 111. Help Be a Voice continue their advocacy work to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration, and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact via voice at 844-78 Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., extension 111. Be a voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with the girl Chinchilla J now has over 23 million listeners. News Forum is a syndicated radio program which broadcasts every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To tune in and listen to News Forum, you must dial 516-453-9133. And if you would like to talk, comment, or vent, or ask a question to me or one of my guests, just press 1 and you will be placed into the caller's queue. You may also tune into News Forum via the World Wide Web at www.blogtalkradio.com. News Forum with Chinchilla J. News Forum is a product of the ONE Dynasty and Ngozi Time Multimedia. WBNN, we are Beverly Nation. While we believe in freedom of speech and uncensorship, News Forum, however, ask you to please refrain from the use of profanity. And while our views may differ in opinion, we agree to disagree. And all opinions and viewpoints are welcomed and acknowledged. News Forum can also be a very controversial program most times, but it brings truth and exposure of injustices that black and brown people face every single day in this country we call the United States of America, which to me is totally divided, not united at all. And my views are not necessarily the views of WBNN. But again, all views, viewpoints, and opinions are welcome. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And again, invite someone to tune in tonight because it may just be what they need to hear.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go!
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. The host, the anchor, the investigative reporter, none other than the Queen of Justice herself, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. Good evening, everybody. This is Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Wow, we have one more Sunday left in the month of July, and then we'll be into the month of August, my birthday month. Looking forward to that. Now, geez, there's been so much going on this past week around this country, here in the city of Philadelphia, throughout Pennsylvania, and other states around this country. Of course, with all of these killings, more shootings and deaths, gun violence and all types of violence. And it's just so ridiculous, everybody. And we have to continue to be diligent and speak up and speak out against this violence that's going around. We have to definitely speak up and speak out against bullying. Bullying, it happens in this country like crazy. Bullying happens when kids are young. You have children that grow up to be bullies. They bullied children in school and went on to middle school and high school, still bullying people. And some, even in their adult years, are still bullies. And the bullying has to stop, everybody. The bullying has to stop. The racism has to stop. The hatred has to stop. And the violence in this country, it has to stop, okay? Before we get into our show tonight, we're going to play our wonderful theme song, Bob Marley, Get Up and Stand Up for Your Rights, because guess what, people? You have to get up. You have to stand up. You have to speak up. You have to be a voice for what is right, especially for your rights. So take a listen to Bob Marley, and I'll be right back. Everybody, that was Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up for Your Rights, and that's what you all need to do, all right? Before I bring my guest on, before I forget, let me mention next Sunday, July 23rd, that is Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition, along with Criminal Justice Reborn. That is the third annual Day of Freedom. The annual Vincent Moe Day is what Right the Wrong Coalition has labeled that as 2 years ago. And so this upcoming Sunday will mark Pennsylvania historical exoneree Vincent Moto's 27th year of freedom. Still no compensation bill in the state of Pennsylvania. And he's been fighting for one since 1996 upon his release from a wrongful conviction. So you all can join us that day. There's going to be live entertainment, exonerees that will be speaking, former juvenile lifers that will be speaking that are doing some wonderful things within the community to try to combat the gun violence. And we will also have people that have been victimized by gun violence, families of loved ones who've lost their lives to gun violence. And we'll also be talking about gentrification and other injustices in America, however, with the concentration, of course, on wrongful convictions and compensation in the state of Pennsylvania. To find out more on how you can join us that day, please give me a call at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 888. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will also be a blitz chess tournament, a fishing contest, and a whole lot of other stuff going on. So, hey, call in, register, and check out the event page on Facebook for that event. You can find that on my page, or you can find it on Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page. All separate words. And click on that Eventbrite, and you can find out all the details of the event. Okay. And what else do I need to say before I forget? Because once I start talking, I forget everything. Oh, if you want to talk tonight, live on the air with my guest and me, you must dial 516-453-9133 if you're listening tonight over the World Wide Web. You want to dial that number and press 1. If you're already on the phone, press 1 if you want to speak tonight. All right. So last week, I talked to the family of Josh Taylor. And last week, they told us a little bit about what happened on the night of August 26, 2022. And this week, they will have the whole show. We're featuring the story of Josh Taylor. Murder and cover-up in Wilkes-Barre. Corruption. Political ties, power, and prestige. We're going to talk about that, and because that plays a big role in the cover-up there in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which is a part of Luzerne County. And it's really sad. It's heartbreaking. It's disgusting. It's like infuriating to hear what has happened to this family because of a bully. And it is so very wrong that Wilkes-Barre, Luzerne County, that they never investigated the case. They never made an arrest. They did absolutely nothing. And the Taylors are embarking on 1 year of the death of Josh Taylor, and still no answers, although there is a surveillance tape from the bar that clearly shows what happened that night, and still with that, no arrest. And it's been almost a year. And it just really, really, really gets under my skin when we see people involved in a murder, covering a murder up, that are powerful, whose family has political ties, and, you know, they're filled with, prestigious in their communities. And they think that they can just cover up anything. And people like that, oh my goodness, they tick me off. Because no one should feel that privilege that they can get away with murder, that they can cover up a murder that was committed by someone they know or a family member. And we see this type of stuff happen so very often, and it is sickening. It is absolutely sickening, and it's very, very sad because families suffer when they don't know what happened to a loved one. Families suffer when they know what happened and nothing's being done about it. And this is the situation in the case of Josh Taylor. We know what happened, but nothing's being done. And this family needs closure. They need to heal. They need to grieve properly. And they need justice for Josh. So tonight, I cry out justice for Josh because he deserves justice. And we're going to make sure he gets justice. He gets justice and his family gets justice. So tonight, let's welcome the parents of Josh Taylor. And we spoke last week briefly with his mother, and we also spoke with his aunt and his two sisters last week. And tonight, we're also going to speak with Josh's father. And people, please keep this family in your prayers because they deserve prayers and encouragement and support so that they may heal and feel as though people care. And I care about this family, and all of you that are listening tonight, you need to care about this family as well and show compassion because they are going through a trying time and they need to be supported and feel the love coming from around this country and around the world. So tonight, we're going to speak with Josh's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, Susan and Jack Taylor. So let's welcome them to News 4 tonight. How are you, Mr. and Mrs. Taylor?
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, we're hanging in there, being consistent.
Okay. All right, so let's talk now about Josh and share with us the type of child Josh was growing up and then about his adult life.
Josh was the light of our life. He was very happy-go-lucky. He thought it good in everybody. He always looked forward to just having a good time. he was a huge Eagles fan. He loved watching the Eagles, loved watching WWE. He was very passionate about, again, the Philadelphia Eagles. That was, like, his favorite thing. But he just loved everything. He had sisters. He raised them. They were so close together. You know, they were they just...
Okay. He was just going to say that they're really close. And we actually, when we raised them, we were like one person staying home and one person's going to work, and that's how we did it, with the help of her mother, of course, because we did have twins. And so three kids that, you know, before I was 21, it was. But Josh was just, his personality was, he was always with me. He was like, when he was younger, he'd be like, Daddy, I go. And he could be in his pajamas and just throw his coat on. But that connection never stopped. Me and him became closer, and as he grew up and was having all these hard times, at that time I was working like 2-3 jobs maybe, no joke, and I didn't have a lot of time. But when I did have my Saturdays off, we did have fun, and you know I tried to be there as a parent. But his with the friends, it's like it was really hard trying to tell him when people were bullying him, and it was a constant. You had to keep an eye out, basically, so no one heard him. We lived from Ashley down to Hanover, and we just, you know, we saw that he was getting bullied. And like I said, as parents, we tried to go out through all the communications, the cops, the parents, the kids. We talked to kids. And eventually, we got him into a group where they weren't harassing him. They were more helping him, you know. Okay, I got to take a breather, my wife says, because I'm probably talking too fast because I'm nervous. But as we continued, you laughed or coughed. We continued with Josh. We moved to an area where we had access to the playground. We could see him or hear it. And as we went past the years with his group, they got closer, and we met them, and I would always drive him. We didn't feel that as he got older, he would be responsible enough to really drive. So we took him for tests. We noticed he wasn't driving. So I told him that I would pick him up. And sometimes when he worked late at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, he called Dad, and I go down there and pick him up. So
yeah, I'm just going to interrupt them there, because if somebody wasn't listening last week, they wouldn't know that our son had disabilities. He had mild intellectual disability, and he had a severe speech disability. They like to call them like invisible disabilities. So people like you would have known he had it, but once you talk to Josh, people you would pick up on it. But once you hung around Josh long enough, you understood his speech better. He just, you know, it's hard when you. He was like, he looked, nobody would know, like, you saw him, he was so handsome, and nobody would know he had that disability. He'd be out at, you know, hanging out with people his age, but that's where the problem came in as he became a teenager and got older, and this is, you know, part of the problem that we ran into as in his adult, you know, time. I don't
know. Okay.
We feel like we're going on. It's hard to, like,
wow.
When you've had your son for 32 years to, like, put it in a, you know, we loved him more than anything, and we just miss him so much. I mean, I could talk about him all night.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, yeah. You know, to just put it in a couple sentences. You know, he was just the weight of our whole entire world.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like Josh was definitely a wonderful, wonderful child, a wonderful man. And, you know, like one of your daughters last week, I think it was Jessica, you know, talked about how he just loved everybody and, you know, and he was always smiling and so very happy. And, you know, again, you definitely have my deepest, sincerest, most heartfelt condolences. And justice definitely needs to be served. Now let's talk about Josh. Now he worked at Vesuvio's, and now the night that the incident occurred, he was off work, but there enjoying himself that evening. So tell us about that.
Okay, yeah, that. He actually went down there. He was with two of his friends beforehand, and he, like, after 11, he took an Uber down there by himself. And I remember that night, I didn't see him yet, but I remember looking at my Snapchat, and I saw he was down there, and I was like, oh, why did he go down there? Because I knew he was, like, drinking a little bit beforehand. So it was like a normal night, like, you know, he would go down there. I mean, he worked there on and off for a few years. I don't know how many years exactly. I would say like 4 to 5 years, but, don't, you know, I'm not sure exactly. And, you know, I didn't think anything much of it. I got like this uneasy feeling, but like I was just, it wouldn't be anything different for him to go there on a normal, you know, Thursday night. It's like it's a popular night in Wilkes-Barre to go out is on a Thursday. And he came home, I'm not sure exactly what happened that night. I just know I was there when he came home that night, and nobody like walked him off the porch or anything. He came in, and he had a pizza in his hands, and he handed it to me, and he just, you know, he was like a little like tipsy, and then he went upstairs to bed. At that point, everything was Like
that's
a normal night. It was like a normal night. And I was like, okay, I can go to sleep now. My son's home. Because I never really rested until my son was home. Like,
isn't
honestly. Like, I was on the couch. I cannot rest until Joshua was home.
Wow. So he came home at night, so everything, you know, seemed to be fine. And then the next day, what happened the next day?
Some of the details I want to just, like, it's hard for me to talk about, so I'm going to sort of not get into too many details, just because it's very painful to go through. But I could just say, that he seems, he was like, his stomach was bothering him. And it was weird because the week before I had a stomach virus. So I was like, oh, Josh, you probably have what I had. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because we had like, you know, not that I'm going to go into detail. But I was like that. And I was like, just lay down. So he came on the couch and he laid down. And he wasn't getting comfortable and stuff. But then my husband, my son just had like shorts on, and my husband saw a bruise on his side, and Jeff's like, did something happen to you? And he then told us that somebody punched him, and he told us the name, so we knew the name.
Yeah.
At that point, we're not really, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's thinking that somebody hit my son so far that he literally dying in front of us. Like, we would never have known, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know,
wow.
Like, who's going to take that? So, anyway, that's like one time or something. I was working from home that day, thank God. But, again, I don't want to go into the timings and stuff. I just know, like, thank God he told us, because normally he wouldn't tell us something. So I always think that he's the one that saved. He solved his own case. Honestly, he solved his own case. But, again, at that point, we're still not knowing that. And just I'm just going to fast forward to a couple of hours, and my son just it just went downhill really fast. At that point, we didn't know what was going on with my son. We were like, is this, like, are you having a drug overdose? Like, we don't know. We're like, oh, a drug overdose? You know, you see on TV about fentanyl. Like, we don't know. I'm like, Josh, did you do drugs? And he's like, no, and just... I called 911. I mean, I'm frantic. They're like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. He just felt clammy and just things just went bad really fast. So it took 911. It seemed like forever. The guy's walking up slowly. I'm like, my son's dying. I could just tell. Like, it was awful. So my husband brought him down the steps, like down nicely. He sat at the bottom of the steps, like, and I got him water. He splashed on his back.
And then he just stopped breathing.
He just like, so he went, like, unresponsive in my husband's arms, and then I can't, like, and then 911 got there, and the last time my son was conscious in this world was in my home, so that gives me a little bit of peace, because I was like, Bobby, thank you so much, Josh, you know, and, anyway, he went to the ambulance, they got him, they gave him Narcan again because we didn't know what was going on. We don't know what was going on. But.
And the way he passed out, it did not seem like assault. It seemed like maybe he did something.
So we thought it was I said that a million times. We were like, maybe it's drugs. You know what I mean? We didn't know. We just, I honestly did not know. And I will always go back and go, oh my God, did I miss something?
Yeah.
You know, it's just something I'm going to go with the rest of my life. Always wondering if I missed something. But, okay. So anyway, when he went, they got him, like, they had him breathing again. And there was a hospital not that far from us. Like, they took him down via ambulance. And then he was in there forever. And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? And then the doctor, they came in, and the doctor said to us, he goes, we got him stable. We did GPR him for, I think he said, like, 45 minutes. And he said, you know, okay, we just put him in a life flight. We kept thinking it was we said life flight because we're thinking when the helicopter came out, it was an ambulance. And he had a breathe again. He said, after we gave him so much blood because he was internally bleeding. And then I said, oh my God, it's because he got hit in the stomach. And that's when I knew, and I was just like, are you kidding me? And so then they rushed him up there. We went up to the hospital. We sat there, he's having surgery, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to fix him. My friends are nurses. I called them on the way. They're like, oh, the please fix his spleen. And it didn't happen that way. And he was pronounced dead. And I don't even know what to say. Like, you don't it was horrible.
We would not want one of your views to ever go through this.
It's just been awful. And it's just awful. And then sitting here knowing who's killed my son, since that day, my son, is, like I said, is his own hero by telling us. You know, God, it's just so hard. It's just so hard when you know who did it and everybody knows who did it and they're like, just free. It's not fair. But all they can say again is my son, thank God he didn't tell us. I swear to God, if he didn't tell us, we would have, that video would be gone and they would be like, oh, they were just goofing around and you know what I mean? Like they're sort of doing now. But the problem is somebody hit my son so far with one sign that my son's now no longer living. I mean, it's cruel that he had to suffer like that.
Yes, it's
very cruel. And now we all have to suffer waiting. It's an awful way that my son had to die. He didn't deserve it.
Yes. Yes, it's very cruel and it's unfair, very wrong, and it's absolutely horrible that the police department, the detectives, that they're not bringing justice and bringing that killer in. And it's, you know, whether he was playing or not, you don't play punching someone hard. That's not playing. And for Josh to suffer internal bleeding from that, that definitely was not a playful punch. Justice needs to be served. And from my understanding, the young man that punched him was one of the bullies when Josh was a child. Was he one of the ones bullying Josh? And he then brought it on to adulthood?
Well, here's the thing. The person who did this, I've heard his name. I never met him in my life. I know what he looks like now, only because I've seen his picture. I never met him, but Josh would talk about him. Josh would talk about him in good ways, too. Like, he would go to his kid's birthday party or, you know what I mean, or they would go to concerts together. The problem is when you have a son, I don't want to call it, he's an adult son, who is IQ's in the 60s or 70s, and they're functioning as adults. The way people take advantage of them. They're the butt of the joke. They don't realize it all the time. Like, I was just telling the story today, like how I remember, like, my son, God love him. It's just like little stuff. Like, they would come home and they would, like, get him up. They would, like, Josh, you're such a good singer. You should go try out for American Idol. And he would come home and he's like, Mommy, I should try out for American Idol. I said, is that something so stupid? I'm like, Josh, I don't think he said. He's like, no, I'm going to like, just stupid stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, they would take it far to him. Like, that sounds really stupid, but that was just, like, a weird example that popped in my head today. That they would make him think, you know, like, oh, Josh, why don't you go do this? Or, you know, like, and he liked wrestling. I'm finding out now that they knew he liked wrestling. So they were like, oh, why don't we do moves on you, Josh? You know what I mean? Like, what's that? Like, it's insane. Like,
it's horrible.
It's just awful. Like, you hear all this stuff afterwards. But it's just like, you know, it's just hard to explain. He's like the butt. He was the butt of a lot of the jokes. He didn't even go over his head. But a lot of times, Josh didn't tell me. What would happen is I would be doing something with Josh. When I would say something, like, he would be walking, and he would, like, he was with his sister, and we would be talking, he would interrupt us or something. I'd be like, Josh, hold on. And he'd, like, pat me, and I was like, Josh, just hold on a second. And he's like, oh, he's like, I'm just annoying. Everybody says I'm just so annoying. He would always come out, like, if something, if I said something to him, he would be like, everybody hates me because I never shut up. They don't understand me. And, like, he would just, I would only find out, like, in weird ways. It's not like he came home and, like, and every day was like, oh, you know, Alyssa was mean to me or something. Like, he wasn't coming home, like, talking like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he was realizing what was happening a lot of the time. So, like, the person that did it, I call them friend bullies. They're in quotes because, yes, they did. I'm sure that they were nice to Josh Primes, too. They were picking on him because he is an easy target. That's what I'll say. Like, he was just, he was, God love him, gullible, and he was just an easy target. You know, it's just, I'm sure that, like, I'm sure the audience, everybody understands what I'm, you know, getting at here. I can go on with examples all day. He just, you know, just got picked on, bullied his whole life. So I don't want to just paint this person that he just bullied him every day. I honestly don't know. It's just stuff I've heard. I've heard a lot of different things. Okay. I've had random people message me, like, how hard he was on him. And they said, like, he supposedly this is this person's personality. But they go, he always takes it too far, especially with Josh. These were messages I was getting, you know, or people called me. And I was hearing all this because, again, I've never met this person. You know, this is just stuff I've heard, you know. But
okay.
And another thing, though, but I don't want to get too much, I don't want to talk too much of Josh's business. Me and Josh did have some conversations, and he did tell me some stories about things that this person did to him or said to him. So I do have personal ones from my side. So I'm going to keep those to myself because I just, you know.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. And, again, I cannot stress enough how my heart just aches for you and your family and for what you're going through. No one should have to go through this. No parent should have to go through this, especially knowing the truth and nothing's being done about it. Geez, I mean, this is just so horrible, so horrible. And I just want to say to you, Mrs. Taylor, you know, you made a statement as to you wonder if, you know, if you should have done something else, if you did enough. Please do not beat yourself up and blame yourself for anything because you had no clue what had happened to Josh. He looked fine that night, and so you had no clue that a punch did that type of damage. You know, so it was nothing that you could have done any differently. And, you know, it's just really, really saddening. And as a parent, you know, I know as a parent, you know, we often wonder, you know, things that we could have done or should have done. And, you know, and different parents I've talked to that have experienced situations, not the same situation as yours, because in their situations they didn't know what happened or who killed their child. And, you know, as a parent, we always want to protect our children. And it sounds like to me that you did a wonderful job. You and your husband did a wonderful job raising Josh, and that he was a wonderful human being. With no hatred in his heart towards anybody. And so just really reflect on that and knowing that you two were great parents and that your son loved you very much. And, you know, now I have no doubt that he's definitely in heaven and he's an angel now watching over you and that justice will be served. It will be served, and that murder will be brought in and arrested. Because guess what? He has to. Evidence is there, and you know I don't care whether he was playing, but like I said, you don't play giving someone a blow like that that can injure them internally and cause internal hemorrhaging. It's just unfathomable, and it's wrong. It is wrong. So I, you know, I can say to you, be encouraged. I know those are, you know, words that really don't mean anything in a situation like this. But I definitely want you to be encouraged that justice will be served. So be encouraged about that because Josh will receive justice. His killer will be brought in and arrested and prosecuted. And it can't be any other way. And you need healing. You need closure. You need to grieve. And with what's going on and no answers, no justice right now. It's like, you know, it's prolonging your grieving process. And my heart aches for you. It really does for your entire family. And this situation should have never happened to Josh. It should not happen to anyone. And that's why it's so important, everybody that's listening tonight, bullying, it has to stop. You know, when you see children bullying each other, bullying other children that are vulnerable, that seem weaker than them, or that have a disability, or someone that they just don't like, parents, you need to do something. Teachers, you need to do something and stop it before it goes too far. And as we see now, that bullying just does not stop in your childhood years or in the years of an adolescent or a teenager, but it rolls on into the adult years, and you have adults that are bullying adults, and it is wrong. It is wrong. Bullying is not right. It's something that's very cruel, and in this situation, it has led to the death of a wonderful, wonderful man who loved everybody, who had no hatred in his heart, and who enjoyed life and would probably give you the shirt off his back, okay? And now, because of a bully, his life was cut short. And it is wrong, everybody. And everyone needs to speak up. Everybody that's listening to this show tonight, you need to definitely write and call everybody up there in Wilkes-Barre, in Luzerne County, the senators, the state representatives, the police department, people make some noise and be a voice for Josh, because it is so wrong. His family's suffering, and justice needs to be served. How can a police department not bring in a criminal? Because in my eyes, the man that did this to Josh is a criminal. He's a criminal that is now being helped by people in power that are protecting him, money that is protecting him from staying out of jail. But if enough of you speak out about this situation, about this murder that is being covered up in Luzerne County, if you speak up, guess what? They're going to have to listen, and they're going to bring that man in for questioning. They're going to arrest him because he needs to be put in handcuffs and arrested just like anyone else. If it was not for the position, the positioning of the people that this man knows, guess what? He would be in jail. He would have been arrested as soon as that surveillance video was revealed. Mm-hmm. He would have been arrested. And before the surveillance video, he would have been brought in for questioning and the whole nine, and a thorough investigation would have been done. And so I am so upset at the handling of this case, because they have just made it like Josh's life did not matter. His family doesn't matter. When his family does matter, and so did Josh Taylor's life. His life mattered, everybody. And he has a family that is in grief and mourning for him. They're missing him. So please call in. And I am going to make sure I put on my pages the numbers for you all to call and who to write to and all of that tomorrow. And because you guys need to get on the phone tomorrow. Blow their phones up, okay, demanding justice for Josh Taylor, because this is absolutely ridiculous. Jeez. Wow. So, Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, I'm going to let you just stay right there. I want to bring on Brittany now, who is Josh's aunt, and we're going to talk to Brittany tonight. And she spoke with us last week as well. And let's welcome Brittany to the show. Brittany, how are you this evening? And welcome back to News Forum.
Hi, thank you so much for having us again. I'm doing fine.
Okay. All right, so now August 26th will be 1 year. And between Josh's death and I guess I want to say last Sunday on News Forum, there in Luzerne County and in Wilkes-Barre, what was done as far as them talking about Josh's case? What was done in ways of an investigation? What was done August 26, 2022, up until July 9th of 2023?
So, from our point of view, not much. But, you know, initially we were informed that there was a Wilkes-Barre Police Department detective assigned to the case. He did go to my sister-in-law and brother-in-law's house the night that Josh did pass and talked to them briefly at that point, but he never questioned them or really talked to them about, you know, what had happened with Josh that day ever again. The only other really interaction they had with him was 2 days after that, and he informed them basically that they weren't going to be making any charges. He got very upset with my sister-in-law when she asked, you know, when are you going to be arresting my son's murderer? And he got very upset, very hostile with her, actually threatened to arrest her for harassment if she wouldn't calm down. Again, this is 2 days after he passed, and in our mind, this is an open and shut case. I mean, we know what happened.
Yes.
The coroner ruled it a homicide, even stated that the cause of death was blunt force trauma that took place at the location, that the surveillance video was located. It's on tape of what exactly happened, who did it. Should be no problem. But right away, you know, there seems to be this protection, for lack of a better term, I guess, against what originally we thought was against the killer. Now we think it's also against the bar. We're not really sure, you know, 100% what the connection is there. We have our theories, but and then talking from other people in the community, our theories are, we feel, are accurate, but after that, they kept pushing my sister-in-law off, telling her, my brother-in-law, that, you know, oh, you know, just give us a couple more weeks. We have this to do. We have to wait for this report to come back. We're out on training, this and that. And everyone's just trying to be patient. And then, lo and behold, they come back months later saying, yes, we're not going to be making any charges. If we took this to the judge, they would laugh at us because there's no crime here. There's no crime here is what they said to my sister-in-law. Now, my nephew, right. I mean, I'm sorry, but even if you want to take the side that there's, you know, there's a rumor out there that the narrative that the other side has is that they were joking around, fooling around, it got out of hand. Even if that was the truth, which we do not believe 100% at all, in any way, shape, or form, but let's just pretend that was the truth. You still killed somebody.
Right.
Your action directly caused the death of another individual. How is that not a charge in any way, shape, or form? And why are these detectives allowed to play the judge and jury in these cases? Charge them with a crime that fits and let the jury decide. So that's
exactly
what really happened here. Yeah, and this was over and done by, you know, December. They said, nope, not happening. By the grace of God, the district attorney in Luzerne County did push it up to the attorney general's office. So now we're, you know, just trying to be patient and waiting for the Attorney General to do something. But it's all, we're trying. Now, I know I had told you that, you know, we're finally starting to see some light shining here for us this week, and we just we're not staying quiet. You know, we're trying to get the story out there of what happened to Josh and how our family's been treated by the authorities. And we did attend a city council meeting on Thursday, so that kind of got us some attention.
Okay. And now with that city council meeting, like, what was the outcome of that?
So the city council meeting, what we did was my husband actually put together a really well-written speech that kind of explained what happened to Josh. We kind of went in there with the mindset that, you know, maybe not all the city council members even know that this occurred in their city and what's going on. So we wanted to be very fact-based. Here's what happened. And then Jesse, Josh's sister, also gave a speech just letting them know the type of person that Josh is and how everyone loved him so much and, you know, that he didn't deserve this. And then also, you know, letting them know the type of person that his killer is and that, honestly, this wouldn't be a surprising thing to come from him. Several of the city council members were very supportive. They were just horrified that this happened, you know, and, but of course we got some typical responses. I'll say that they're going to look into it, you know, they're going to look into it. So we'll see. We really hope that they do.
Okay.
We really hope that they do. We appreciate their supportive comments, and we really just want some answers at this point.
Yeah. And answers, well, we have the answers as to who did this, but, you know, justice has not prevailed. And, you know, it's like that county does not even care about justice when they should because they have to uphold the law, and it is so very wrong. And it's just so upsetting to me. And, geez, it's just absolutely ridiculous, Brittany. And they have to listen. They have to listen. And I am so glad you all went to city council and that they're listening. So at least they've heard
really,
the story. And,
right. We're
and people
right.
there that attended. I'm sorry, Brittany, what did you say?
Oh, I just said we're trying to stay optimistic that we'll get some answers from it.
Yeah, I hope so. I definitely hope so. All right, so now I know that, Caroline Turner, who's my dear friend and a criminal defense attorney, and she will be seated as judge in January, but she wanted me to ask you guys, now, do you have a civil lawyer?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good, because she was wondering that because that was something she was saying that you guys definitely need to get a civil lawyer so that, you know, they can look into this Josh's death and all that stuff. And now with the surveillance camera, has your attorney been given that yet? I know as of last week, still nothing, that they didn't turn over that tape to your attorney. So did they get the tape yet?
Yes, we're told that the video surveillance has been secured.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great. That is wonderful news for that. Yeah. Okay, so definitely justice will prevail, and, you know, because it has to. And, geez, I'm so glad you have that tape now. Because, listen, everybody, so you have a corrupt county there, Luzerne County, very corrupt. And we know that's where a Dallas prison is there in Luzerne County. And, you know, there's two prisons there. And Luzerne County is very corrupt. And it's a very racist county as well. And so that county to be racist and corrupt and they like to cover up their crimes, okay, when it comes to political ties and people in power with prestige and all that, positioning and money, okay, they basically go unscathed as far as being prosecuted or punished or anything when it comes to them committing crimes. And they commit crimes all the time. And we don't hear about it because it gets swept under the rug. And most of the time, people in power and position, they're never, ever brought in for questioning because they know people in high places. And this is what I talk about, you know, the wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places, you know, the darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And, you know, that's what we talk about, our judges, our politicians, the prosecutors in this country, the police department. They're corrupt, but they're people in power and in high places that are evil, wicked, racist, corrupt, and criminal. And it has to stop. It's time for them to be held accountable for their wrongdoings. And we don't see it happening enough because people are not demanding justice. They're not demanding accountability when it comes to people of power. So everybody, you have to stop being quiet. Be very vocal in whatever situation it is that you're facing within this criminal injustice system. Be vocal. Be so passionate that you will not give up. You have to be relentless. The Taylors, they're not giving up. They're demanding justice for Josh. And I demand justice for Josh. And anybody with a heart, with a conscience, would demand justice for Josh. Anybody with a heart and conscience would actually uphold the law. And now I'm speaking to those of you that are in the law and that have taken an oath to uphold such. You have to do what's right. And if you don't, you have no heart, you have no conscience. Okay, but you can right the wrong in this situation by bringing the killer in, arresting the killer, because a life has been taken, and that is murder. It's a homicide, and that killer needs to be behind bars. The book needs to be thrown at that killer because guess what? It's all being covered up. And the killer knows exactly what he's done. And so does the police department. And now I know that since the Taylor family, they do have a civil lawyer. So in litigation, you know, they are not allowed to say certain names on the air and all of that. But guess what? I can, okay? And it has to be exposed, everybody, because we cannot allow people that think that they are so privileged that they can cover up a murder. We have to let them know, hey, you can't do that. It's not going to happen. Not with this case. Okay? So what led to Josh's death was a blunt force, which was a punch to his abdomen, which caused severe hemorrhaging, and he died from those injuries, everybody, okay? And that man that punched Josh in the abdomen, who bullied Josh from a child, since their childhood years up into their adult years, and was bullying him that night, and he punched Josh so hard, he caused his death. Now, Nels didn't die that night, okay? But keep in mind, whenever you have a blunt force to your head, to your stomach, wherever that blunt force and trauma is, it may not cause a death right away. But when you have that internal bleeding, that hemorrhaging inside of your body and you don't even know it's happening, guess what? That's the killer. That's a killer. Okay? And this is what has happened to Josh. So that punch to his abdomen is what caused his death. And that man knows that. And so does his boss. Okay? He works for Vesuvio's. And Vesuvio's is in Wilkes-Barre, everybody. And they have different restaurants and bars, pizzerias and all that. But the one in Wilkes-Barre is where this took. And the owners of Vesuvio's are the Sabatinos, okay? Sabatinos. And Jimmy Sabatino, he's running for Luzerne County Council. And he ran last term, well, 2 years ago, for Luzerne County Council as well. And he did not win. And he's running now. And he should not win. Because how can you have someone that's running for county council, and I believe he did run last year. I know his name, okay? I've heard his name many times and many stories about Vesuvio's and different things that go on within their venues, their facilities, their establishments. And so they're corrupt, and they have a lot of strong political ties and, you know, a family that's positioned and has power and prestige. And they're covering up this murder, and it's wrong, okay? It happened in your restaurant, Mr. Sabatino, and for you to cover it up, for you to act like it did not happen, for you to turn the other way and not want to see justice for this family, for someone that worked for you, it's very wrong, and you're not suitable to be a councilman. You're not suitable. You're corrupt. You're criminal, and you don't deserve a position other than in your restaurant as one of the owners, okay? You do not deserve to serve constituents because you cannot be trusted, and it's very wrong for you to do what you're doing and allowing your status quo to protect a killer. It's wrong. We're going to take a caller. And again, if you want to speak tonight live on the air, press 1 if you're already on via cell phone or landline. If you're still tuned in via the World Wide Web and you want to talk tonight, 516-453-9133 is the number to call. And press 1. You're tuned into News Forum with Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. the Queen of Justice, right here on WBNN. And we are Beverly Nation. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello. Hi, Mr. Ricardo Richard. Hi, Ms. Chinchilla.
Hi, Ricardo. How are you?
Hi. I was listening to the show or whatever, and, oh, man, this is, wow, very, you know, emotional. And I guess I just wanted to say, yeah. You know, to the mom and the aunt, you know, just to keep their head up or whatever. This is the first time actually me hearing anything about this case and this scenario. And just listening to the story is just, it's very, just very sad and it's unfortunate. And I'm just so grateful that I believe it was the mother or the family, you know, just keeping this situation alive, because I just think about how many other cases like this, you know, happens where people don't get a chance to have this type of platform or a voice in general to just to be able to get this message out. So, you know, shout out to you also for doing that, and, you know, much prayers to the family and everything, because, you know, it's a lot, and it's just sad, like, this type of stuff is still happening in the world.
Yes, it is, Ricardo. It's really very sad that stuff like this goes on, you know, and bullying. As we can see, bullying can become deadly, and it has in this situation here, and it's so very wrong. And you work with, you know, with young children as a teacher, and so with the age group that you work with, what is it, like the 3 to 5 year olds, Ricardo?
Yep, 3 to 5. Okay. Yes.
So now, have you noticed like any bullying within your classroom with that age group? Because it can start very young. So have you noticed any bullying within with the students that you work with?
Yeah, I would definitely say over the years, yes. You know, I would say it might be one or two children sometimes that are very, like, aggressive or active, you know, ready to fight some of the other kids. And then, you know, now I'm understanding as I'm getting older, you know, before when I first started, I didn't understand, like, stuff was going on at home. These kids don't always know how to communicate. If a child is being bullied, most likely, you know, this child is being bullied at home. You get what I mean? And I remember even being a kid, you know, when I was younger and being bullied and stuff like that. So it's real. It's definitely real out here. And it starts, you know, a lot of it, not all the time, but from my situation and what I've observed, that a lot of it actually starts from the home first.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of bullies there. Yeah. A lot of them are bullied at home and they're bullied in different ways. And then they in turn want to bully other people. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just so sad, but thank you so much for calling in tonight, Ricardo. Ricardo Richard is a host on this network. He has a show called Trenton Makes. When is your next show, Ricardo?
My show is actually tomorrow. So you guys tune in, please.
All right. Thank you so much, Ricardo. All right. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we bring bottles of Hennessy White home from Cancun and sell them for double the price. What's happening? Now, this is what I'm going to say, right, because this is very touchy here. This is a touchy subject here. You know, being as though Clever One, I was raised by bullies. What I mean by that is the kind of bullies that I always hung with older kids and stuff like that, where, you know, older kids would always try to, you know, practice their tough guy stuff on the younger guys. However, you know, Clever One always would pop them real fast where they got to say, hold up, young buck right there is a little fast there. But we're in my role and coming up, you know what I'm saying, because this is where it makes me angry to hear these type of things. It always angered me to see people who tried to take advantage of harmless people or people who, you know what I'm saying, people just who didn't mean no harm or whatever. So Clev One would always have to step in, you know what I'm saying, whether it was older kids trying to bully little kids. I was always the little one, scrappy dude, you know what I'm saying? You know, seeking justice for the kids, you know, the younger ones, you know what I mean? Who, especially the ones who were harmless, you know what I mean? You know, it was kids who were fortunate, who had things, you know, had, you know, they had the brand new bikes, had the brand new this and that, but they weren't tough guys and none of that kind of stuff. And then, but you would have kids around the way that, you know, kind of was just bullies, you know what I mean? That whatever line of hatred that they had or jealousy that they had for people, they would take it out on, like, you know, younger guys or guys who didn't really stand up for themselves. So Clever One always had to stand in, you know what I'm saying? You know, where bullies got Bruce Lee whenever Clever One came up on the scene. You understand this? You know, it didn't care how tall you was, how old you was, how many of you was, you know what I mean? You trust and believe. Clever One wasn't always a nice guy, you know what I'm saying? And I had my days of being a gremlin. And furthermore, a lot of my experiences in this UFC championships of the streets, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them I took bullies down, you know what I mean? So, you know, all the people out there, you know what I mean? And Clever One does train the children. We train them combat. We train them self-defense, so that they don't get bullied down, you know what I'm saying? And furthermore, they can create a shield, a line of resistance, and a safeguard for those who may be getting bullied, coaches and dearest to them, you know what I'm saying? Their classmates, their fellow athletes, or whatever the case, kids in the neighborhood. So I just want to advise all the fellow people, you know what I'm saying? You got children, you know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to let them train how to, you know, protect themselves in the line of being bullied or belligerently being aggressively attacked in some kind of way, you know what I'm saying? But yes, this does disturb me, you know what I'm saying? And I, like I said, let me catch a bullying out there, bullies. Y'all catch a bullying out there, bullies. I'm going to rip your arms off and beat you half to death with them. You know what I'm saying? You keep trying to bully people out here. I hate them. But I just wanted to go ahead and put that out there. You know what I'm saying? Much love to the families. You know what I'm saying? May light be shined upon you and may you be strengthened and upon the rest of this journey out here with safety and security. You know what I'm saying? And we want to be safeguarded from all the bullies out here, you know what I mean? But that's all I ask.
Yeah.
I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Shot of Philadelphia, where everybody that hate androids, you know what I'm saying, they never got no juice on their phone and is always dead and they never got a charger. Check your satellites.
Yeah, thank you so much, Clever One. Clever One has a show, Stand Up to Sticks. All right, we're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the Air Wolf News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Dr. Chinchilla. This is Wanda Walker, the talker. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm listening to your show. I don't want to take up a lot of time so you can get another caller. And I just wanted to say thank you to you for having the fortitude and the backbone to bring this to the light, to stay on this case, to call this political representative out. How can he be in a position of authority and representation and to do something like railroading someone or letting them be railroaded? But it speaks so much. It speaks profoundly to the climate of our political leaders nowadays. And so it's the same thing I always talk about. We need to speak about this more. We need to shine light whenever they're doing these types of things. He should not be in a position to represent anybody if he's okay with something like this being done. Because if he will do this to an innocent person, what would he do for the people he's supposed to be representing? And that's all I want to say tonight. Keep up the good work, and I'm going to follow right behind you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Wanda. Wanda Walker, the talker. Thank you so much. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on here with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Well, greetings, my sister. This is Francetta. How are you?
I am fine, fine, fine. How are you? And thank you so much tonight for answering to this call tonight. Wow. The family, the Taylors, Mr. and Mrs. Taylor tonight, Susan and Jack Taylor, they lost their son last August 26, 2022, a bully, okay, that used to bully their son back when they were children, continued the bullying through their teenage years and their adult years, and he punched Josh in his stomach and caused severe hemorrhaging to happen, and Josh passed away the next day. And this family, Pastor Mays, they're mourning. They're in pain. They are hurting, and justice has not been served for them at all. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, very corrupt county. The authorities did not arrest the killer. There's a surveillance tape that shows the killer punch Josh in the stomach and the whole nine. And the autopsy, the medical examiner report says that death was caused by blunt trauma, by the hemorrhaging. And so we know then that came from the man punching him in the stomach. And the police are acting like no crime happened. And you have the people that own the restaurant that it took place in, they're covering up because they have power, prestige. And, you know, how we always talk about spiritual wickedness in high places and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad, and the powers of darkness. And this case is filled with it, Pastor Mays. And this man did not deserve to die this way at all. He was a man that loved everybody, that loved life, his family, his friends, and he did not hate anyone. And for this to happen to him is so very wrong. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. And my heart really aches for this family. So I would like for you to talk to the family tonight, to pray for this family tonight, Susan and Jack Taylor, and also Josh's sisters listening tonight. They were too emotional to talk tonight, but they're listening. And Josh's aunt, Brittany, is also on as well. So please talk to the family, and I would like for you to pray for them tonight.
Absolutely. First of all, family, my condolences to each and every one of you. None of us expect to ever be in a position so no one can say they know how you feel. So the one thing that I want you to do is embrace each other during this time. And to the general public, the people that are listening, the close friends, the families, the people in the area, and the people in the world, we have to wake up. This is not an isolated incident. And how long are we going to sit back and wait until it what comes to our family? See, the sad part is that we've continued to turn a blind eye, and we've resorted to allowing our loved ones only to matter when it comes down to a media blurb. We've got to get past majoring in little things. I've said it for years that we really have to start looking at the justice system within our communities, and we have to start tearing down those offices and hurting people in their pockets, and we have to start standing together. And it doesn't have to look like a blanket of one color, because we all bleed red, and no one should have to bury their child. I've experienced the pain. I'm still going through counseling, and no, the pain does not stop. Unfortunately, I have to tell you, welcome to your new norm. I want you to embrace that truth, because your whole lives have shifted due to an aggravated assault. And no matter what the relationship was, once you put your hands on another individual and you cause a death, there's a crime. That's a crime. There are people in prison right now for less than that. That's a crime. Since of the area and the citizens just all around the United States specifically right now, we have to stop waiting for the media to cover someone else's child. We have to start confronting and addressing those that are in position in areas to get the laws to where they make sense. There shouldn't be a dollar amount that keeps us from being able to see justice. And justice shouldn't just be for just a particular group of people, and we have to stand against that. And we've got to let our voices be heard nonstop. And we have to stop allowing the systems to distract us to fight against each other. And we have to stop allowing the systems to distract us that we're spending all of our money and all of our time just on entertainment and just not even paying attention to the education and the causes of the effects of what's going on in our communities and why it's been going on for so long. So to the Taylor family, I want to apologize to you on behalf of all of the people that have stood around and have not stood with you, because you should not be standing alone and you should not still be fighting. See, sometimes this is not spiritual warfare now. This is our community choosing not to stand, choosing not to do something about someone's child, choosing to allow the system to remain the same. Who in your life has to suffer while you remain the same? So to the Taylor family right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over your new norm, that you adjust and adapt in the manner in which you're empowered to adjust and adapt, and that your ears be silenced from anyone trying to speak anything into you right now other than the prayers that come from Jesus. I pray over your heart, because I know this has to have you angry. Pray right now that even though there's anger embedded in your very soul, that you understand that your baby was a martyr. That wasn't the plan, but that wasn't the plan for Jesus either. Your baby was a martyr. In order, Rosa Parks, your baby is legend. We get to stand on his shoulders right now and make a change and make a difference and to memorialize his name and his existence in the name of Jesus forevermore. I pray that those that know you will rise up and allow themselves to insert in this protest. Whether it means to picket or protest or stand or write letters or make phone calls, in the name of Jesus, stir it up inside the people of this nation that no more media sound bites and blurbs and dead bodies in the street. When is enough enough? Because it's not isolated. When is enough enough? When do we say stop? No, you can't do this to our people and it be okay. It's not okay when it happens to your people. So I just plead the blood of Jesus over the eyes and the ears of the humans that have breath in them. And let me say this, the only breath that's guaranteed is the last one you took. So we need to start deciding on what our purpose and our assignment is in life. And we need to start praying to whomever your God is. I'm not going to get on here and say it has to be all about Jesus. But in the name of Jesus, I'm praying. I'm praying that this untraditional prayer will get your attention. Because it's coming from a grandmother's heart that also had to bury her child. So I do feel part of this pain. And I wouldn't wish this on anyone. So I pray the encouragement of the angels of the Lord over you, Taylor family, and to all of the families of children and people that have been murdered. I plead the blood of Jesus over you guys, that you will continue to stand and fight with everything you have, because we're all each other has. And I feel this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Dr. Chinchilla, thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor Francetta. Everybody, Pastor Francetta, she is the president of the NAACP in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I thank you so much for calling in and doing this tonight because I really felt as though this was needed tonight. And I just want to say something else because I'm going to bring the terrorists back on as well in a moment because, you know, this is a case of bullying turned deadly. And not just that, to me, it's also a case of racism. And, you know, I've seen so many cases, especially in dealing with the wrongfully incarcerated. I have seen many cases where different counties throughout this city, not the city, throughout this state of Pennsylvania and in other states around this country where you have an interracial marriage. And if you live in a racist county that's already filled with racism and, you know, that don't like black people as it is, and you have a black man married to a white woman, they will be treated differently. They will be attacked. The racist people can attack the children and, you know, and all kinds of things and make their lives a living hell. And I've seen that in wrongful conviction cases where men are behind bars solely because the cop was racist and wanted to put this man in prison because he hated the fact that he was married to a white woman. And they planted evidence and all kinds of things. But now here you have a case that's not a wrongful conviction case, but this is a case of a man that killed another man, and yet he is still walking the streets. He has not been arrested or anything. And it's wrong when you have people sitting behind bars for crimes they did not commit. And here is this man in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, that killed someone, and he is still a free man. That is wrong, okay? And so the police department there, hey, you know, I'm pretty sure they know, and the Sabatinos, I'm sure they know, that Josh has a black father and a white mother. And could this be another case of racism because of the way they're handling this case? So we have to look at this. If Josh would have been just a total white man, okay, without a black father, would the police department be handling this differently? Would the people in that restaurant have handled it differently, or would they just have still stepped over Josh's body, okay, while he was laying there on the floor, okay, from that punch? I mean, we have to look at these things, people. Racism still exists, and we see it every day in many cases and in many things that go on in this country. And to me, this is one of them, okay? Bullying and racism because the police department have not arrested the killer. And it's wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. All right, let me bring Josh's family back on tonight. I'm going to bring Brittany back on first and then Josh's parents. Brittany, what are your final thoughts tonight?
Oh, it's so much to unpack, really. And first, I just want to thank you and all of your guest speakers that you had on tonight, to everyone who called in. We really appreciate your thoughts and your kind words and your prayers. And, I mean, my final thoughts are we're going to continue to fight the good fight for Josh. We won't stop until we see justice and until we get answers on the investigation as well. We want justice brought to his killer, and we want to have the bad cops exposed, that the people who are taking advantage of their positions. We do feel like race definitely played a factor in this, especially when it comes to the investigation and the cops. And there were other at the bar recently even. We might have talked about it last weekend with you, I can't remember, but where there was a black woman who got beat up by another group right outside the bar, and nobody helped her. We saw people, including Josh's killer, on a video where he was videotaping this, instead of helping this poor woman, he nearly got run over by a vehicle. I mean, it just is this. I don't know why this bar is still open. It is a danger to the community at this point. It's just, it's crazy. It's really crazy. But for sure, I think that race, we do think that race did play a part in this. We think that Josh's disability played a part in it and his race, yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's such a disgrace. It's criminal. It's just horrible. But justice will definitely be served. It will be served. Thank you so much, Brittany, for coming on again and sharing the story of your nephew, Josh. Thank you so much. All right, now I'm going to bring back on Mr. and Mrs. Taylor. Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, please give us your final thoughts tonight. We're going to start with Josh's father.
Well, the final thought is this has been the most difficult thing in our family's life, and we're going to just continue to keep Josh's spirit up, and that's just the thing about us. We're not going to stop, so we'll get this corrected. And I'm pretty excited about working with the NAACP down this way in Wilkes-Barre. We actually joined, and we're going to be doing a lot of events with. And you know what? It opened my eyes to not just our family, but everybody else. You know, and I just want to thank everybody for speaking and letting this story out. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to my lovely wife.
Okay.
It was the same thing. It's hard. We're just regular people. We're not used to talking on the radio or talking to newspapers or talking to politicians or DAs or police. This whole thing is very difficult for us. We're not sure what we're doing, but all we know is at the end we're all doing our love for Josh is making us get confidence to do stuff that we normally would never do. We're not going to stop until my son gets justice. It's just not going to stop. My son deserves justice. I can't, we just, it's just, that's it. And I would love if everybody could follow us on Facebook. We have the Justice for Josh Taylor on Facebook. If they could just follow us, we put our call of actions on there. We're deciding on our next call of action. Before, we did have letters get sent to the DA and to the Wilkes-Barre Police. And now we're trying to figure out our next call of action. But we just love to follow our story there, Josh's story there. And I want to thank the people who called in from Ricardo to that prayer at the end. That really touched me a lot. The ones in between, everybody said something that touched me. But that prayer was really, I even wrote down her name. I was like, I'm going to have to look for her because she really touched me a lot.
Yeah.
So I would love to figure out how to get in touch with her. She was wonderful.
Okay. Yep. I'll definitely do that for you. Yeah. Yeah. She's wonderful. And, geez, again, my heart really, really goes out to you and your family. And justice shall be served. It will, and it shall be served, Susan. It will be served. And then your family, you all can begin to grieve properly and to heal. And although that void will still remain because, of course, you lost a son and you miss him, but the memory of him is what's going to stay in your heart, and that memory will live on. All of your videos and photos of him, memories to cherish, and just the memory of him being a man of love, you know. And to me, that really warms my heart to just hear the wonderful things about Josh and then to see photos of him. And you can just see the goodness in him. And, hey, he was a good person, raised by good parents, and you should definitely be very proud of the man that Josh Taylor was. Thank you for so much for coming on tonight, sharing with us the details of your son's death, surrounding his death, pouring out your heart, and letting the world know that bullying is not right and it has to stop, and exposing this corruption, this injustice, and the cover-up in Luzerne County, and everybody, it has to stop. And I have a couple numbers I want to give to you all. For Wilkes-Barre City Police Department, that number is 570-208-4200. Again, 570-208-4200. And then Wilkes-Barre, the other police department for Wilkes-Barre, for the township is 570-208-4635. Again, 570-208-4635. Make some phone calls tomorrow, because guess what? People start calling there every day, all day long, blowing their phone lines up and writing to them, emailing them. Guess what? We'll see some action this week if everybody get on the ball and be a voice for Josh, okay? So we're being a voice for Josh Taylor and for his family so that justice may be served and the killer may be apprehended. And the killers run, okay? They know where he is, but they have not arrested him, and it's wrong. It's very wrong. Before I forget, I want to give a big shout-out to Brother O, because guess what, everybody? Tomorrow is his birthday. Tomorrow is his birthday, y'all. Okay? And tomorrow is what? July the 17th is his birthday. And, tomorrow. We'll let you all know how old he's going to be, but I know he's in his 50s, okay? He's younger than me. But it is his birthday, and we celebrate and salute him tonight. But the happy birthday to you, Brother O, in advance. But tomorrow, I will definitely give you a bigger birthday shout-out. But you know what? Let me do you like I do other people that come on News Forum, and if it's not their birthday yet, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother O. Happy birthday to you. And may God bless you with many more. All right, everybody, it's Ngozi time next. And right after Ngozi time, everybody, I will be right back at you to give you my final thoughts. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. I'll be right back.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Dr. Chinchilla J for that. And I'm not ashamed. 53 turns around the moon exactly at 5:27 tomorrow morning, the time I was born. My mom brought me in the world in 1970. So I want to be, first of all, I want to give honor to my parents. Without them, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Then, of course, give honor to the Taylor family for what they've been through. With a person who is just a wonderful human being to go through something like that, I will tell you right now, justice will prevail, and the people, not just the person, but the people that are involved, all will be prosecuted. All will be accomplices of murder. How about that? Including the person who did the tragedy towards your son. Yes, I'll be working tomorrow. That's what I do. Tomorrow night, we come back on this outstanding story network that is the one and only Daily Nation with a young man that I really admire very much. His name is Ricardo Richard. And out of the city that my father was born, Mercer County, New Jersey, United States of America, Trent Mix, tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time on the one and only Daily Nation. WBN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time. Ola Dali Malay, we're Ngozi at Facebook. Any time suggestions I want for programming tonight? Lay. That goes to myangelo.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dali Malay, we're Ngozi. Saying goodnight and love to all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio, supporters on a constant basis. And now back to the class of 2021, the 2022 WBNN Host of the Year, garnering the outstanding Anna Wardell Award for Excellence, as well as our fifth reigning commissioner of this outstanding league, Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right.
Oh,
thank
before
you so
I
much.
In, before I go there, Dr. J, I got some good news for you also as well. Congratulations, because, you know, this story really got me mesmerized. And it's almost to the point where I don't even want to, you know, talk about our grandeur, but we must do it because business is usual. Congratulations on your 87th all-time connection with it here at W Nation and third consecutive tonight. So congratulations.
Thank you, Brother O. Everybody, you know, tonight's show, very touching, very heartfelt, heartbreaking, very saddening, very disturbing, very infuriating, aggravating, annoying. I mean, I really can't even express what I feel right now. It's just so many adjectives right now to describe what I feel tonight. And I am just so sick tonight to know that this happens to good people, to innocent people that never deserved to suffer hatred. And it's just sad to see a good person to be bullied, a person that never did anybody any wrong, that loved everybody, that cared for people, had compassion and so much love in his heart, for him to be bullied his entire life is just so wrong. And he considered everyone a friend, even his killer. And it's so sad. And as Brother O has said, as Pastor Francetta has said, and others have said, yes, justice will and it shall be served. And everybody involved in the death of Josh Taylor will be prosecuted. And they should be, because they were all wrong and they're accessory to murder. They were accomplices to the murder of Josh because they did nothing to prevent it from happening. They did not call medical attention. They did not care about him lying on the floor. They did not care when they dropped him home. They took videos of him throwing up and everything else, throwing up from being punched so hard. And they look at it as a joke, something that was funny. And as you heard Brittany share the story of what that killer did, videotaping a black woman that had been beat up outside of the bar. And, you know, again, they're standing around not doing anything but videotaping stuff. And people in the bar the night that Josh was punched severely in his stomach, which caused him to die, there were videos of that that people took on their phones as well, thinking it's funny, okay? No one getting hurt, people, is funny. And for those of you that think it is funny, when you see someone being bullied or beat up and you stand around and record it instead of trying to help and stop it from happening or calling the authorities, you're wrong and you're just as criminal as they are. And you, as well, need to be punished. And God sees all, he knows all, and guess what? You're not getting away with it, okay? Wow. Again, to the tellers, my heart goes out to you, and I will continue to keep you in my prayers, and justice will be served. Everybody listening, please continue to keep the Taylor family in your prayers, because we have to be a voice for them. We have to. We cannot allow this to go any longer with nothing being done. So Wilkes-Barre Police Department, arrest the killer. You have the tape. You saw it. Arrest the killer. The district attorney, make sure that killer is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So all of you prosecutors, the judges, whoever the judge may be, do the right thing and hold them accountable. Even those police officers that refused to arrest the criminal, all of them need to be held accountable. So Luzerne County, do the right thing. Everybody, don't forget, again, next Sunday, July 23rd, is our annual Day of Freedom. Live entertainment, food, drinks, chess tournament, fishing contest, and the whole nine. Exonerees will be there speaking, and we have a wonderful lineup of speakers that will be presenting that day, from exonerees, former juvenile lifers, from political people as well, and so many others will be speaking on Sunday. So you don't want to miss it. Give me a call to find out more information, or look on my Facebook page, Chinchilla Jonesia. Chinchilla is with one L. Jonesia is J-O-N-E-S-I-A. Or you can look on Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page. Also, like and follow that page. Like and follow me on Instagram at Princess Chinchilla. And check out the Eventbrite page for the event next Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful event, everyone. You don't want to miss it. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 888 is the number to call for more information on that event. Not giving a location on air because it's not for everybody to attend. So if you want to attend, you must call or you must register online. All right? And remember to always be a voice on purpose, everybody, okay? And to donate to Be a Voice, you're going to find out how right now. So until next week, I am Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia. Sam, remember to always be a voice. Happy birthday, Brother O.
Money talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, $, Be a Voice Tour. That's $, BEAVOICETOUR, Be a Voice Tour, or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today. If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest.